This was from Thursday. Good. So Rashi, again, we're on Chafav Amud Aleph. We're discussing the case of the Shomer Ginos Upardesim. And we're trying to explain the shita that holds that the patur for such an individual is based on Teshukin Taduru. And Rashi said, what's the problem? What's the Teshukin Taduru problem? Oh, because in order to be dar in the sukkah, you have to do what? You have to bring out all of your stuff. You have to bring out your bed, your linens, your mattress, your kli tashmishav, things that you need. And if you would require this individual to do that, it would be tremendous tircha, and that's not Teshukin Taduru. We said that's different than what we saw in the Ritva. What did the Ritva hold?
It's taking it out.
That's what? No, it's not taking it out. Not up to that yet. Anyone remember the Ritva?
Well, she said like you would make a category, right? Or you would establish.
Right. What was the problem? He said, who is the one that has to be in the sukkah? According to the Ritva, who's the one that has to be in the sukkah? The one that has kviyas in a certain place, we tell him, Teshu kein tadiru. Tell him, go out in the sukkah, just like you are a person that dwells in a home, you should dwell in the sukkah. Go out from your diras keva and go into your diras arai. But this guy, what's the problem with him? He has no diras keva. He has no kviyas. So it doesn't make sense to tell him, go into the diras arai. That was the ritva. Teshu kein tadiru only requires that you extend the experience of the Diras Kava into the Diras Arai. But if you don't have a Diras Kava, then you're not charged with being in a Diras Arai. So this person who lives out in the field for the week or two or three, whatever the case is, that he is the Shomer, he's lacking in the very basic Dira that would be extended into the Sukkah. And therefore he's putter from the Sukkah. And that would mean, practically, nafkamina between Rashi and the Ritva would be if there's a sukkah available. If there's a sukkah that's available and it's fully furnished, right? According to the Ritva, he's potter. He is not a sukkah dweller. Why not? Because in his existence here on this field and on his pardes, he has no diras kava. If you have no diras kava, we don't tell you go out and be a dar in the sukkah. You're not a yoshev basukkah unless you have a diras kava. And we said a big application of this shita might be that if a guy is itinerant, he has no dira, he has no home, he's homeless. Maybe according to this ritva, such a person would not be chayiv in sukkah. Sounds like a big chiddush, but that appears to be what the ritva is saying. Unlike Rashi say no. What's the problem? The problem is teshu kein tadiru. It's not in terms of the structure teshu kein tadiru. It's teshu kein tadiru in terms of your access to the structure, in terms of your experience in the structure. So it's true, you really should be in the sukkah. But the way you're supposed to exist in that sukkah is how? With all your things. And it's a big tircha for you to bring all your things. They're not going to tell you go home a mile away and schlep a mattress and everything in the street and come back and be in the sukkah. That's a big tircha. And since now it's a big tircha for you to be in this sukkah in the way that you should, that's lacking in teshu kein tadiru. Normally a person doesn't live in his house or live and experience his house in such a way that involves such a big tircha. And therefore, Teshu Kein Tadiru tells you that he's potter. That's Rashi in the Ritva. That's where we ended off last time. So today I asked you to take a look at the Me'iri. And you'll see that the Me'iri is more similar to one of the Shitos, but still very different than both of the Shitos. So do we have a volunteer to read the Me'iri? Chaim, you want to read it? Since you have it open there, thank you. Good. Everyone got a chance to look at this Me'iri? Anyone who wanted to? All right. Go ahead. Shomer Ginos Upardesim. You see, in that edition, it's Pei Aleph. It's that the first full paragraph on the page. And it's about five lines down.
Okay.
Just read nice and loud. I want to make sure that Jonah can hear.
Shomer Ginos Upardesim.
Good, what does that mean?
Because
what is Ein Zozim Misham?
That's what I couldn't figure out.
You can figure that out?
Yeah.
Good, what does that mean? They don't move from there. That's it. They're there. They're there for a week, they're there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. Whatever the employment period is, they're there. They're not going up and back. They're not going home. They're not coming for hours at a time. It sounds like an extended stay. Extended stay without all of the privileges of extended stay, right? Go ahead. She'ains doesn't misham b'yom b'layla. They're there all day, 24 hours a day.
Right.
So what about these people?
Peturim b'yom b'yom b'layla. So they're called a day and night.
Good.
Afilu, even, ha'yu shalahem she'ain kam lo mitzvah lo hakrach.
Lo hakrach.
Lo hakrach. And it's not, even though it's not for them, a mitzvah or a hakrach.
So what does that mean? What is Hayu Shelahem? Afilu Hayu Shelahem.
Even if it were.
Well, let's read a little bit further and see what he's saying about this case. We could perhaps figure out what he means. Afilu Hayu Shelahem. It's still what?
It's still there.
Still what?
It's still
good. So, in a case that falls into this category of Hayu Shelahem, which we still have to explain what that is, even in a case of Hayu Shelahem, they're still Pater. They're still Pater. Why? Shein kan lo mitzvah, there's no obligation, v'lo hechrech, and there's no requirement. To do what? There's no requirement for them to be in the sukkah. So what does it mean, v'hayu shelahem? It sounds like even if they have some type of things, right? They have some things of their own. They have their own things. Afilu hayu shelahem, even if they have their own belongings here, they're still going to be pater. Why? Because there's no mitzvah, there's no hechach. Why? Va'alzeh sha'alu b'gemara. My time up.
Okay, so it asks in the Gemara what the reason for them being potter is.
Right. Kolomar.
Kolomar. Is to say? Me'achar after this, she ain't kan lo mitzvah lo hechrek. V'him kovayim dirasam.
No, they don't have to be there. Lo mitzvah lo hechrek. There's no requirement for them to be there per se. They're not involved in a mitzvah. They're just watching the Ginos and Pardesim. My taima. So why don't they put the sukkah out in the field? Kolomer me'achashe ein kan lo mitzvah lo hechrech v'heim kovim dirasam l'sham. Not like the ritzva, right? They have some form of kviyas here. They're here. They're here for a week. They're here for a month. They're here for 7 days. Whatever it is, they're here. So they have some type of kviyas here. So why shouldn't they put the sukkah and be required to sit in the sukkah? No, they're still not required to sit in the sukkah. They're still not required to sit in the sukkah. That's the Gemara's question. Why not? My time up. V'tireitz Abaye, teishu kein tadiru. Abaye says the answer to that question is because of the principle of teishu kein tadiru. Kolomar. Right, why is he koveya there? Shalolanach peirosav lemikra. Why is this guy coming? He's coming there to watch the field, to watch the fruits. Shemachash is that koveya dirosav l'sham shalolanach peirosav lemikra. He doesn't want to just leave his fruit or his produce, whatever it is, to chance. If now you'll tell me that I'm there for that purpose and I'll be required to make my sukkah there, what are you going to tell me to do? Afut sarich. Right. So far it sounds very similar to who? Which sheet does it sound similar to? It sounds more similar to the ritzvah?
Well,
or more similar to Rashi. What did Ritva say right away? Ritva said there's no kviyas.
Right, so
sounds more similar to Rashi. Right? There is a kviyas, but there's another problem. What's the problem? Keep reading. If you're going to tell me I have to bring out my sukkah, I have to live in a sukkah over here, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to bring all my stuff out there. L'havisha mitas of a kletash misho. Shatora amra, teshu kein tediru. Okay. What do you have to do? If I were to tell you you must be in the sukkah in this place, what would I essentially be telling you?
You have to have your stuff in
there. That's it. You got to bring all your stuff out there. Why? Because how must you exist in the sukkah? How must you live in the sukkah?
Like in your house.
Like in your house. You have to live in the sukkah like you live in your house. So if I tell you that you mechuyev in sukkah, I'm essentially telling you that you mechuyev to bring all of your belongings out into the sukkah. Okay, what's so bad? Vim yasa kein.
Vim yasa kein, if you did this, v'yorn du b'shamim, and rain comes.
Right.
Ein lo makom lifnosam, there's no place to move that.
There's no place to put his stuff. He's got no place to take his stuff if it rains. So harei, v'harei hu ke, kimursha me'ikaro, mitoras hatircha yiseira shebe pinuyav. He's permitted, from the Lashon of Marsha, to give permission. Right? I think that's what he means when he says Lashon. Mursha mi'ikaro, mitoras hatircha yiseira. He's permitted, or he's potter, from the outset, because of the tircha yiseira, that would result when and if he would have to bring his stuff in the event of rain. She'ein lo makom l'sham l'fnosam. He has no place to put it. So this is kind of radical. What's he saying, just factually? What's the Meiri saying factually? What did Rashi say? Rashi said, you know what? Could very well be that this guy should really sit in the sukkah. There's no reason to tell him he's not mechuyev in sukkah. He's mechuyev in a sukkah. But he has a patur. What's the patur? The patur is that if we tell him to sit in the sukkah, he's going to have to bring all his things. And that's a big tircha. Bringing all your things out to the sukkah, a distance away, is lacking in teishu king tadir. That's not the way a person would normally avail himself of a house. You wouldn't pick a place to live where you had to schlep things through the street to go and live there. That's not teishu king tadir. So now you're not going to tell me I have to live in such a way where I'm going to be required to go carry things from a long distance away.
Could you make that argument that any time you're away from the sukkah?
What do you mean?
Well, I wouldn't normally stop a sukkah here. So, if I go to a baseball game and I want to eat something, I should be able to eat there
because
Teshuvah
can't
do that. Well, that's...
I wouldn't normally bring my home to the baseball game. I'm not saying going to a baseball game, but when a person is a real traveler, right, there's a status that we discussed previously called Holchei Drachim. And yeah, and Tosa said, just like a person doesn't normally refrain from leaving his house because he says, I live in a house, he doesn't say, well, I never leave. So too, we don't say never leave your sukkah, and once you're entitled to leave the sukkah, yeah, it could be that on some occasions you could eat out of the sukkah. When there's a need to do it. When there's a need to do it, guy can't just do it for no reason. Right? We said that, according to Rashi, it seems like it was for very limited cases. Right, I still want to do that too in Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe is very limiting in what he allows for a person to do in the absence of a sukkah. You don't say you could just leave your sukkah for whatever you want. Holchei Drachim says for Torah mitzvah, which we have a separate category for, and then a person has a great tzorech, that's permissible. Rashi says it's tzorech, but it could be there's another tzorech, not necessarily tzorech, but it could be another tzorech. But to go to a baseball game, I don't think you automatically become a holchei derech. You're outside the sukkah, okay, I would say that's more achilas arai. Outside the sukkah. So you could eat certain things outside the sukkah. But you're not a person who's now mufka from sukkah.
Well, I don't see why not. Just because you don't have a status, like that's...
That's right. You need a certain status. Yeah.
Rashi says, Eino yachol, habiyon,
Torech? Eino yachol?
Eino yachol. Is there a difference between that and saying the Torah? Torah is with Patriu, or is it Einu Yachol because of Torah? Is there a difference?
What do you mean Einu Yachol? You mean physically he's not capable of doing it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like.
Physically not capable, you want to say that's what he means?
The Zechul Einu Yachol Havion Shom Mitnehah Torah. So I don't know if there's a difference between the Torah.
Einu Yachol Havion Shom Mitnehah Torah.
Yeah, Einu Yachol. Is there, or is it just...
Right. I wasn't reading it that way. That's an interesting point. It's actually saying Rashi's using the notion, ain't a yachol. Can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? It's not possible? Of course you could do it. You could walk, you could... I don't think he's saying he's physically incapable of doing it.
Right, no, I don't mean like, I must not say. I mean...
Right.
Just, it's not just... You're not going to take your mattress and put it on your back.
Right, it's unreasonable. It would be unreasonable to expect this guy to do it.
Right, is it an unreasonable thing? Is there a difference that a Torah, you can have a tirfa, but it's still in a matter of you're still able to do something, like how far do you have to go?
Right.
Tirfa stam just doesn't seem like, okay, it's inconvenient. Or is it einu yachol, so he's not able to.
The Meiri's lashon is... Shetzarech lahavi mitaso besukaso. Like Rashi says also, you really have to do this. But if you'll do it, and then you'll have to take it out, that is a tircha. There will be a tircha that results to bring it later, and therefore it's mutter meikara. It's pater meikara.
Meaning, like, you're not going to expect someone to take this on a train with them to...
Right, it doesn't mean it's not physically possible.
You're able to,
right.
But it's just not...
That's what I think he means. I think that's what Rashi means, that you're right. It's humanly possible, it's physically possible, but insofar as the chiyuv of sukkah, you know, we're not going to tell a guy to do that. You're not going to tell a guy that has to do that. That's unreasonable. And since it's unreasonable, therefore he's potter.
It's not stam, tircha, like, I don't know.
I mean, what, you're asking what
what's the... The question is, what's tircha, right?
I'm not sure what tircha and kishu, are they different things?
Well, 1 second. You're saying tircha could be some subjective. Like I could say I find it annoying to do that.
Is tircha inconvenience, or is tircha just unreasonable?
Well, the whole thing is tircha.
What do you mean? Sukkah in general is a tircha?
Yeah. I mean...
Well, that's what Chaim is asking. There's a mitzvah. The Torah gives us a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to live in the sukkah the way you live in your house. That's the mitzvah.
Right.
Teishu came to do it. Leave your permanent dwelling and now go out in the temporary dwelling. How must you dwell in that place? In the way that smacks of living in your home, right? In a way that's similar. Teishu ke'ein tadur. Now you're right. Within a person's living in his house, there are occasions when something's going to be very inconvenient, which he won't do. And that's going to be patur from sukkah also. Guy's not going to say, "Well, I'll never leave my house because I'm a house dweller. So therefore, I'm never going to leave my house to go on business. I'm never going to leave my house to do that." No, you wouldn't do that. Therefore. That's still considered Teishu Kein Tadiru. When I venture out of the house, I'm not violative of Teishu Kein Tadiru. If it's raining in the middle of my living room, I'm not going to sit in my living room. Teishu Kein Tadiru tells me, okay, go out of my sukkah when it's raining. You're saying it's all the whole existence of sukkah to begin with is something that's not, it's well, abnormal.
You have to define what's
good. It's abnormal.
You wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't go out in a sukkah normally.
Right.
Right, that's not tircha. We're saying apparently that's not tircha. Tircha is only once you now have the mitzvah of sukkah, once you now have the structure of sukkah to avail yourself of, now how do we relate to it? What's a tircha? Apparently schlepping your stuff for a mile, that's a tircha. Not going to require you to sit in a sukkah when you have to go so far. That's a big tircha. When you come into town at night, I don't know if you guys were here for that sukkah, but the beginning of last week, the holich derech who comes in at night, now there's a question. When we say he has to sit in the sukkah, when is it that he has to sit in the sukkah? Is it when he's in the yeshuv, meaning when there's a sukkah there, or even not? Does he have to build a sukkah? Right? So the chayyadim want to say, according to the Lavush, that no, you're not required to build a sukkah at night. Why? Because that's not teishu kein tadiru. You don't tell a guy when he comes in the middle of the night, now start building a house. Who's going to do that? The guy's rather stay in a house that's already built than build a house in the middle of the night. That's not teishu kein to do. Therefore, not mechuyev to build a sukkah. You could sleep someplace else. So yeah, I guess it's a sliding scale. How inconvenient is it? How much is it going to be a deviation from normal living?
He doesn't say
mipnei ha-torech. He just ainu yachol mipnei ha-torech. Ainu yachol mipnei ha-torech. Ainu yachol lahavi yon sham mipnei ha-torech. It's not feasible to do this because it's a tircha to do it. He's not saying e'efshar. He's not saying it's impossible.
Right?
It's just, you can't ask this guy to do that.
Why did
you can't ask a guy to schlep his bed and his mattress and his sheets and everything from a mile away and now come say, now, yimachliv in the sukkah. Yimachliv in the sukkah, therefore go bring all this. That's a big tircha. Since that's a big tircha, we're not going to tell you to do that. Therefore, you're pater. That's not teishu kin tadiru.
So those are two totally separate categories.
No, it's not.
I don't see how.
Why is it not teishu kin tadiru? Because it's a tircha. Sometimes engaging in the activity is going to be a tircha, and therefore it's going to be vile to the teishu kin tadiru. If I tell you build a sukkah at 10 o'clock at night, we're going to have to spend the rest of your night building a sukkah in order to sit there. So that's not going to be teishu kin tadiru. That's not normal. It's not a normal way. A guy wants to eat now. It's dinner time. Well, that's what Jonah's saying. I'm saying you have to start with the fact that there is a mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. You're right. It's not normal. Given his druthers, the guy would rather be in the house. Tircha means once I tell you that the mitzvah called sukkah and the way you mekayim the mitzvah.
Teishu kin tadiru is copying what you would do normally.
That's right. Treat the sukkah like your house.
No, but there's no part in the whole sukkah process that's like what you would do normally.
What do you mean?
You sleep in here, you eat in here. Mitzvah, so you just have to do it. Then any factor, I mean, there's a million factors that go into eating in a sukkah that just aren't normal.
Why are you saying that? What do you mean by normal? Would I normally eat
with spiders falling from stuff into my
You're right. That's
I wouldn't
you,
normally eat like
Then you putter. If you have spiders falling into your food, you bought there.
Little leaf things. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't normally eat.
Some of those cases are going to create a patur. You're right. If a guy's in his living room and he has things falling in his food, he's bought there. Why? Because he's a mitzdar. A guy would not normally stay in his living room. So he's not normally chayav to stay in his sukkah. That's not teishu kin tadiru. You're right. There's going to be a lot of application. This is the umbrella principle that guides a person in the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. Teishu kin tadiru. Now, sometimes the patur is going to be because of the structure. A guy wouldn't build his house in such a way. A guy wouldn't put up a house in this way. Or, no, the sukkah exists, but normally you wouldn't avail yourself of a house in this case. That's another type of teishu kin tadiru patur. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if this answers the question, but is it like, instead of saying...
Rashi's not saying...
We already have a
mitzvah. What I'm trying to say, Rashi's not saying this guy is not chayiv in sukkah. He really is chayiv in sukkah. If you ask me, in a perfect world, this guy, because he's out in the field for the week, this is the right place for him to put up a sukkah. It's not like the Ritva. The Ritva is saying this guy is not part of sukkah. He's mufka from sukkah. It's not that he's chayiv with a patur. He has no chiyuv. Why? Because he has no permanent place of dwelling here. He has no diras kev over here. Therefore, he can't have a diras arai. He's not chayiv. I don't know. It's a good question. I think we raised it last week. If he sat in the sukkah, according to his vote, would you be a kaim mitzvah? I don't know. It's a good argument to be made that he's not being a kaim anything because he's mufka from the mitzvah. But for Rashi, it's a practical thing. Really, you're chayiv in sukkah, but you have a pass. What's your pass? Your pass is that it's a pain in the neck for you to avail yourself of the sukkah in the way that the halacha requires. Has halacha required that you sit in the sukkah the way that you sit at home? For you to sit in the sukkah the way you sit at home is a big deal. You have to go schlep all your stuff. Okay, you're not going to mechayiv you to do that.
Based off what?
Because that's not a way a person would normally avail himself of a home.
So I thought Kishu Kein Tadur.
Teishu Kein Tadur, yeah.
Rashi
said what the Gemara means is, not that you're not chayiv in sukkah, because you're lacking in your kvias. Not saying that. You are chayiv in sukkah. You're really chayiv in sukkah. But what's the manner in which the Torah obligates you to be mekayim the mitzvah? Teishu kin tadiru. You can't do that.
I'm
not sure what you're bothered by.
If Rashi's going to say it's just too hard, you can just say it's too hard, it's not going to require the guy. But if he's going to say it falls under the category of teishu kin tadiru, I have a problem.
What's the problem?
Because it seems like in order to have that category, you need to have built a sukkah.
Why are you saying you have to have built a sukkah? I don't understand what that means. How about a case where it's raining, you go inside to eat your meal, and then it stops raining? You have a sukkah outside. Do we tell you have to say you have to go outside to finish a meal outside when it stops raining? No. We don't tell them. That's also because the idea of tirchah, it's a big pain. That's not teshuah came to diru. You have your meal in a place, you're not going to go in the middle of your meal and just go out someplace else. I'm not sure why you think you have to have actually built the sukkah.
When is someone going to say that it's like?
I mean, Rashi is essentially saying what you're saying. He's saying that you're chayiv in the sukkah. It's not that you actually have to have a sukkah. They don't care if you have one or not. You have one in potential, right? You have a chiyuv of a sukkah. Rashi, yeah, you have a chiyuv of a sukkah, but now you have a pass. What's your pass? Your pass is teshuah kein tadiru. Oh, which category under teshuah kein tadiru? Tircha. Under teshuah kein tadiru, there's a lot of different applications. One of them is going to be tircha. It's a big pain for you to avail yourself of the sukkah. That's not teshuah kein tadiru. You see the difference between that and the ritual, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're asking about the Meiri. What is the Meiri saying? You want to ask something else? Say something else?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm clear on teshuah kein tadiru. Like, at first I was thinking that it's like, it sounds like it's like a theoretical, like, this is how you're supposed to perform, you know?
Right.
Mitzvah. And then a tircha is really like a practical thing. You just, you know, you can't do it for certain practical.
You know, you have to bear in mind that Rashi's introducing this shot within the context of the Gemara's statement that the patur is teshuah kein tadiru. Rashi's not saying it's a new thing. It's not teshu kein tadiru, and then there's something else called tircha. Rashi's saying the chisaron of teshu kein tadiru over here is the tircha. He's explaining the Gemara. I'm not saying something new. The Gemara's giving two reasons. Either because pirtza karla ganav, or teshu kein tadiru. What does teshu kein tadiru mean? Oh, it's a tircha for your sloppy stuff out there. The first is the Gemara's statement that the reason why the Shomer Ginos of Pardesim is Pater is because Teshu Kein Tadiru. So the question is, well, what does that mean? What do you mean Teshu Kein Tadiru serves to Pater me? What do you mean Teshu Kein Tadiru serves to Pater me? Well, the Ritva says, I'll tell you what it means. It means that you're not a person to whom the Mitzvah Sukkah even applies. Why? Because you don't have a permanent residence, therefore you're not going to be required to sit in a temporary residence. Because that's Teshu Kein Tadiru. No, he's not saying Tircha. It just doesn't apply. To whom does the mitzvah of sukkah apply? Teshu kein tadiru. If you are a person who is a dar, then you're a person that has to be a yoshev. You're not a dar because you're not a kaveh here. Therefore, you're not a yoshev. That's the mitzvah. Rashi says, no, that's not what the Gemara means when it says teshu kein tadiru is a patur over here. Teshu kein tadiru over here means really this guy should sit in the sukkah. He should sit in the sukkah. But you know what? There's a big tircha for him. To be in that sukkah. That's the patur of teshu kein tadiru. You can't live here as you would in your home. In order to do so, it's going to be a tremendous tircha, your pater.
So they're arguing over what teshu kein tadiru means.
They're not arguing over what it means in general. They're arguing over what it means in this context.
What pater means.
What's the...
That's their argument.
What aspect of teshu kein tadiru is patering him? Yes.
Right.
I mean, listen, you could also say that they're arguing over whether or not the guy is pater meikara or not. In other words... The Ritz was holding he's not chayiv in sukkah. Rashi said, yeah, he's chayiv in sukkah, but he's potter.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
And there's one's categorically potter. If there's a sukkah there, you're not going to be required to sit in it. According to Rashi, if there's a fully furnished sukkah on site, we're not going to say you're potter.
Oh, so the Ritz would hold that if he had a sukkah right there, he still wouldn't have to sit.
That's right. He's still potter. He is not someone of whom we could say, teshu kein tadiru. Why? Because you don't have a dira, therefore you don't have yeshiva. Rashi's not going to say that. Rashi's going to say, no, now you have to sit in the sukkah. Because the only reason I told you not to sit in the sukkah was because of teshu kein tadiru. What do I mean? I mean, it was a big pain for you to do the mitzvah in the way that you should have. Can't get all your stuff there. Your stuff is there, why shouldn't you be chayav? So the Meiri has a very big chiddush. What's the Meiri's chiddush? He says, first of all, you are koveya there. Right? So we know right away he's not talking the language of the Ritva. He's not talking the language of the Ritva. Me'acha shezeh koveya dirasa l'sham. Right away, you know he has some kvias there. Shalom yach perosav l'mikra. Im yasa sukkah l'sham afu tzarech l'havi sham mitasa v'klei tashmisho. Shatora omra teishvu kein taduru. Okay. If I tell you now that you must be mekayim in the midst of sukkah here, what are you going to have to do? You have to bring out all your stuff. Right? That's like Rashi. Just like you would if you're in your home. You would have your bed, your mattress, all your different kalim. So too, by telling you to go out in the sukkah, I'm telling you, bring all those things out to the sukkah. Okay, so Rashi says that in and of itself is the tircha. It's very difficult. You don't live here. You live a mile away. How are you going to get that stuff? Okay, teishu kein tadiru yupater. Ve'im yasa kein. So let's say now you do this. You bring out all your stuff. Ve'yerdu gishamim. And it will begin to rain. If it will begin to rain, ein lo mokam lefnosam. What's going to be problematic for you? You have no place to put your stuff. Where are you going to put your mattress? Where are you going to put your pajamas? Where are you going to put all your linens? And get soaked. Oh, so since that's the case, harehu kimorsha meikaro mitoras hatircha yiseira shebefonov. It's like you put there now because of the tircha yiseira that you might confront later. She'ein lo mokom sham lefnosam. So we recognize this is more similar to Rashi than it is to the Ritva, right? That's right. I'd like to try to explain a little bit better. But just factually, you understand what he's saying? Right now, there's no problem. He's not saying you have the problem of Rashi. He's not saying it's a tircha for you to bring your stuff out to the sukkah. That's not the problem. What's the problem? The problem is in the eventuality, you have to bring your stuff out of the sukkah. That's going to be a big tercha.
Why?
Because you have no place to put it. But that's not the basis of the patur. You're right, it's true. He's saying you don't have a place to put it, but he's acknowledging that you really should be chayiv in sukkah to begin with. And he's saying you are kavua there. You are kavua for this purpose. So therefore, to tell him you have to go out in the sukkah is going to really be telling him bring all your stuff out. So what do you say? Does the Meiri hold of Rashi's patur?
Yeah.
He holds of Rashi's patur? He holds of Rashi's basic approach. That's true. It's a tircha based approach. But does he hold of Rashi's specific tircha, meaning it's a tircha to get your stuff out into the sukkah?
No,
that doesn't appear to be enough for him. Right? For the Meiri, that would not be a basis for popping him from the sukkah. Okay, you live a far distance away, but fine. That's you're not exempt. That's not enough. He asked me before about degrees of tircha, right? For whatever reason, the Meiri is holding this is not enough of a tircha to pati you. What type of tircha is enough to pati you? Oh, the tircha you wouldn't be able to have a place to put your stuff in the event of rain. That's the facts. Those are the facts. That's what the Meiri says. Now let's try to explain it. Does everyone understand what he's saying? Anyone not understand it? Yoni, you got that? Daniel?
More or less.
More or less, okay. So what do you guys want to say? Question, you have questions on it? What's that? I think we said, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
So if I'm a chayiv, what am I essentially telling you? I'm telling you, bring out all your stuff. Oh, and by bringing in all your stuff, you're opening yourself up to potential tircha yiseira. Yeah.
How about this? It's guaranteed no chance of rain on the seventh day.
Okay. On the seventh day?
Then the Meiri would say chayiv.
Why are you saying guaranteed no chance on the seventh day?
Guaranteed no chance.
Because then you don't need to bring it anywhere, you're saying?
Well, because at that point, if he's only saying there... Well, whatever.
Right, you're reading it into that. Right.
But then you're there's no tircha, for bringing stuff back. Whatever.
I mean, you're assuming this stuff is only stuff that he uses for sukkahs? Not going to have to use it inside?
Nope. I'm just saying that if there's no rain whatsoever guaranteed for the entire sukkahs,
oh,
and there's no other problems guaranteed for the entire sukkahs,
yeah,
Rashi would say you're still...
No, according to Rashi, definitely potter. Right.
But the Miri would say you're healed. Because you know, there's no chance of exempting the person on sukkahs itself.
V'im yasakin v'yerdu gishamim. If you'll do this, and it will rain. Ein lo mokum lefnosam. It says, though, your mursha me'ikaro mitoras hatircha yiseir sheb b'fanav. Oh, sorry. Sheb pinuyav. Pinuyav. In the removal. The removal of his stuff. The tirch yisera that's going to be created is going to be a patur. Why? Shein lo makom l'shan lefnosam. Well, what's the first step here? What is the Meiri essentially saying? Yeah.
At home.
Jonah is making a good point. I think that apparently Meiri holds that you need a greater level of tircha to pata you from the sukkah, you know, before it's arrived. Rashi's saying the tircha of bringing the stuff out into the sukkah, that's enough to pata you from being in the sukkah. Now, it's in order to be in the sukkah right now, it's a tircha for you. That tircha is enough. The Meiri's saying it might be a tircha for you to bring your stuff out to the sukkah, but you want to know something? That tircha is not a green enough tircha to say you're not chayav in the sukkah right now. But the fact that you may have to remove your stuff in a few hours from now, in a day from now, in 3 days from now, and then not have a place to put those things, that's enough to pata you right now. And he calls that tircha yiseira. It sounds like almost it's like a greater tircha than bringing the stuff out to begin with. The fact that all of a sudden it's raining, you're standing outside with no place to bring your stuff, that's a worse inconvenience than carrying your stuff down the street to get to the sukkah to begin with. So I think, okay, we're getting a little bit further. I still think we have to try to explain the nature of the exemption. Yeah.
So if I had a different approach,
yeah,
I was wondering if we could mention that down. Although it's not.
But I think it's a good point that the Meiri specifically, in using that language of tircha yiseira, certainly indicating that the tircha of carrying the things alone, that's not the exemption. The exemption is that you're carrying them and you have no place to put them. So when it's carrying them in, that's not the problem. It's the fact that now you're caught in the rain, standing outside with all your stuff, where are you going to go? So that's enough to tell you today, you're not chayav in sukkah.
You're saying because you can't walk back in the rain?
Your stuff's going to get ruined. You have no place to put them. Where are you going to put it? You're here. Ein zozim misham. This is where you are for the next week, 2 weeks. Where are you going to put your stuff? Under the tree? It's going to get wet. So I'm not going to tell you, bring your stuff out there in a predicament where it's going to potentially get wet and get ruined. And therefore what? And therefore you're not even chayav me'ikara. You know, you have a similar case like this in the Shas. Hitiru,
he lost from Mishim
Sofan. What's that?
Sounds like a weak
argument. It's very it's a difficult argument.
Because if the guy is a guard,
right,
and that's his job, he has material that is rain protected or waterproof.
Right, we don't know. We said before, we don't.
Job. He's out in the field all the time.
Right, but now, there he's not.
So now he's in the sukkah, so now he has more.
No, so I'll tell you what the problem is. The difference between sukkah dwelling and being out in the field where he is without the sukkah is that he doesn't have all those things with him. Because he's not required to have all those things with him. Maybe he just has basic bare necessities.
No, he's got a sleeping bag and he's got.
Okay, but we don't tell him bring it. What's that?
He's got cooking utensils and a sleeping bag.
Yeah, but we don't tell them over there. You must bring your mattress and your blankets and your bed.
That's necessary.
But that's what Rashi and the Miri are both pointing to, the fact that it is necessary because Teshu King Taduru demands that you bring those things.
I mean, you know, up to a degree, you don't bring your chandelier and.
No, but we do have a lach. So we try to make the sukkah.
You don't
bring
your bookcase as with your entire library.
Right, you don't. But you try to bring things out to the sukkah to make it nice. People do bring. Certain things out.
Sure, if you want to, but it's not necessary.
It seems from Rashi and the Meiri that there is a bare minimum that you have to bring out there in order to, similar to the Mordechai, and say, in a sense, if you remember, we had the Mordechai holds, or quote of the Shita that holds, If you build your sukkah in a place where you can't sleep, as if you build a sukkah in such a way you can only eat in the sukkah, but you can't sleep in the sukkah, your sukkah is lacking. That's part of making a kosher sukkah means that I could do all those things that I do in my house, eating and sleeping. So I have to make the sukkah fit for sleeping. You're right, that would be the bare minimum. Beyond that, we say, okay, now that it has to be fit for sleeping, you got to bring all the stuff out that's necessary for sleeping. So Rashi's saying that presupposes that a guy's going to bring out certain things, mattress, bed, sheets, miri also.
Say he's parked because he can't do the job when he's sleeping in the sukkah.
No, that's a different approach. That's
But I mean, as far as, you know, providing the material for the sukkah, you know, for existence, for the, you know,
he can't get it there.
Their necessities. I disagree. I think if his job is to be a shomer, then he's used to roughing it, and he can provide for himself.
It could be that he could provide for himself, but we have to look at what's the nature of the mitzvah of sukkah. And when are you putter? You're saying, let's say for Rashi, if the stuff is there already, I agree with you, if the stuff is there, and you don't have to bring it there, you're not putter. Because the patur is because it's difficult to get the stuff there.
What stuff? He's got a sleeping bag and he's got cooking stuff.
We don't know that he has a sleeping bag. I mean, we don't have that fact.
Why not? Well, he comes prepared. He brings his sleeping bag. What's the big deal?
And now when he goes into the sukkah, he apparently has to bring more than that.
Right. Why?
Because that's the mitzvah of teshu kein tadiru. You got to bring things out into the sukkah that make it like a house. Listen, they both say that. Listen to the language.
What's the difference, a sleeping bag or a mattress?
You mean practically?
You don't know that it's a mattress.
Maybe not. Maybe somebody sleeps in a sleeping bag.
But the point is, there's something more from the sukkah than...
In the field.
In the field. You have to say that. We don't know if it's a mattress versus a sleeping bag or a shed.
Okay,
we
fine.
We just don't know.
It's not exactly equal to your house.
So whatever it is, it's going to get ruined.
No, he's used to being in the field.
But he's going to bring more stuff. Right, so he's going to bring more stuff in the sukkah.
No, I'm saying he doesn't have to.
Right, he's saying that from Rashi, it's mashal. That's the assumption. The assumption is that when you're going out into the sukkah, you're bringing more than you did, and you were just in the field. Yeah, listen to Rashi's language. Rashi says, "What's the problem? What's the problem, Kain Taduru? Oh, because if we tell him he has to sit in the sukkah, kiderach shu dar kol hashanah beveso, right? Has kikaso Torah lahaniyachti rosa v'lodur kan besukkah." With all these things, im mitosov, im mitzaosov, kletashmisho, mitzaosov. There's a requirement. Rashi, there's a requirement to have these things with you in the sukkah.
So, if somebody sleeps in the sukkah in the sleeping bag, then he's not yotze.
Let's say he's not yotze, but it could be that he's lacking in the way to do it. It could be that he's not fulfilling the mitzvah in an ideal way. I wouldn't say he's not yotze. I don't want to be halacha lemaisa. I don't know. That's a different question in halacha. I'm just saying what Rashi seems to be saying in terms of explaining the Gemara is Rashi's assuming that what the Gemara means when it says teishu kein tadiru, it means do this. It means live in the sukkah in a way that's different than in the field. That's right. The way, if you're going to be required to be in the sukkah, it's going to require you to bring more into the sukkah than you would have been. That's why he's potter. That's why. No, but the Meiri's Chiddush is that you're not putter because it's a pain to bring that stuff out. And to bring the stuff in. The reason why you're putter is because it's a pain to bring it out. So, yeah, you want to say something?
Yes, I have a question on when Teshu Kein Tadiru can exist.
Yeah.
It seems like Rashi's saying that it exists prior to Sukkot even beginning.
What do you mean by that?
In other words, if you have your whole truck full of stuff, you know, planted there before Sukkot.
Right.
Rashi would say that you're still a tircha that moves into your sukkah.
No, I don't know about it. I mean, it sounds like the tircha is because you're nowhere near your stuff. Why is that? That's no greater tircha than a guy who lives in his own house and has to put up a sukkah. You know, it's like Jonah saying the whole thing would be a tircha. The whole mitzvah of a sukkah would be a tircha if that was the case. We don't say, well, putting up a sukkah is a tircha, so therefore you don't have to build a sukkah before a sukkah. Right?
So now
once you're chayiv in sukkah, so I could say, okay, now you're potter from sukkah because of the tircha. Question is, what's the logic of the Meiri? What is he saying? There is no, I'm pottering you now without the actual tircha in existence. That's a much bigger chiddush. See, for Rashi, it makes sense. I can say, listen, you're chayiv, you should really sit in a sukkah. Oh, but you're carrying a pass. What's your pass? You're carrying a tircha card. What's the tircha card? You bring your stuff out to the sukkah. It's a big tircha. What's the Meiri's pass? The Meiri's pass is, really, you should sit in a sukkah, but you have an exemption because to properly fulfill the mitzvah, you might be opening yourself up to some potential tircha later on. Therefore, you're putter right now. It's very difficult. So Chaim saying, well, what that means is a person would never move into a place where he knew that this was a potential. Right? Is that what you're saying, right? A guy would never move into a place that had a hole in the roof, even when it wasn't raining.
What about the plain sukkah?
Why don't you say, I'm saying that the only problem with that is, we don't say a guy is potter from sukkah because it might rain. It might rain. And I'm going to get wet. And I'll be potter. I'm not going to eat out here. Once my food starts getting ruined, I'm potter.
No, he would never move into a place if there was a hole in the roof and he had nowhere else to move his stuff. Like he wouldn't move into some new place where he did not have an escape route. But that has to be part of it.
So I think what Chaim's saying is a good idea. That you know, no one builds a house without, I will call it like an emergency exit, right? That's lacking in you need an escape route. You need an escape route. You know, anyone ever go to the Torah Synagogue? Torah Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island? So underneath they had some kind of, when they built it, they were used to being persecuted. I think they built it with some kind of trap door underneath the bima. When they built it. Why? Because they were used to being persecuted where they came from, so they came already with the idea, you're going to build it with a way to be hidden. It's not really, there's no exit. They found that the tunnel didn't go anywhere, just was underneath, if I'm not mistaken. Even if it's not 100% accurate, the point is that's the way a person views their house. They always want to know that they have a safe exit. They're not going to build themselves into a place where they feel it's dangerous, or feel they're going to be damaged.
Like even if it rains in the sukkah, so you can always run.
Exactly. If it's just raining in the sukkah, I can leave. I could seek shelter. But am I going to build my house in such a way where I know that my stuff is going to get ruined in the event of some kind of inclement weather? I would never do that. So he wants to say that's the chisaron in Teishu came to do. That tircha that would result later is a bar for me now because I would never create a situation for myself where I would open myself up to that kind of situation. It's a big chiddush. I'm not saying this is a simple pshat. I'm not saying this is a simple idea. You know, it's very far from. Excuse me. It's very far from. I think what anyone here would just come to on his own. Say, oh, this is what the Gemara means when it says teishu king to do. Oh, it's lacking not because now, but because given the potential. What's that? You think it makes more sense than Rashi? Wow. Why? You don't like the whole.
Rashi's opinion was great. It's a tircha to schlep things. So therefore, you don't have to. Therefore, you punch it from sleeping in a sukkah. That is not. And you have to imagine that they formulated a halachic pater called teisha kain to do, and all that means is, oh, if it's difficult for you to schlep stuff there, then you're
pater. I was trying to answer by having that potential chiluk of einu yachol because of tircha, not just on tircha.
You want to say he really means impossible?
No, not EFSHAR. Meaning, let's have to take this.
Right?
To take this on the train, it's not impossible for me to do, but it's a tircha. I'm not in Yachal. I can't take this on the train to Philadelphia.
Right?
Can I? Is it EFSHAR? No, it's not. It's
okay.
Not EFSHAR.
So you're just saying
I was trying to.
You want to say there's a higher level of tircha?
I don't know. I'm trying to find some spark.
Right.
A difference between Eino Yachal and just tircha. You know, it was tircha for me to take my mattress downstairs to go out back here. That was a tircha. That's not
more a question of degree.
Well,
that's more a question of how much tircha you're talking about.
And it's obvious that if you physically can't do it, you physically can't do it. That's not a...
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know if Rashi means in yochel like it's impossible.
So why do you have to say that as well?
You're right. It's a good question. But in yochel, you want to see it's definitely a higher level of tirchel than just that it's inconvenient. Right.
Unless tirchel is used in different translations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's true. At some point, if your sukkah is overrun by bugs, you're potter. It doesn't mean you see.
I've had two bugs.
No, that's not true.
No, I mean
that's not true. A guy sees a spider on his wall and not going to say, "Ooh, I can't eat in here."
No, but you're in your house. You see a couple of bugs. You knock them out, right? So you kill them.
Right.
And like you've gone to the sukkah, you see 50 of them.
So I'm saying that
they're not bothering you.
If you're not bothering,
you know, I'm going to go to sleep. They're going to attack me when I'm sleeping. So therefore, you can't sleep.
If you can't sleep, that's a different story. If they're actually bothering you from sleeping, I mean, I think that's a case in Sukkot where there's zhuvim. Again, the sukkah is overrun by bugs. At the same time,
I'm not saying overrun. It's saying you see 15 bugs.
All right, I don't know what the cutoff point is. I mean, at some point, you're right. I'm agreeing with you. At some point, the presence of bugs is going to be a patur. It's going to be a mitzdayer. And that's one of the cases brought down in Shulchan Aruch. But you can't put your sukkah in a place where you know it's going to be subject to that. Let's say you're not going to put your sukkah near a beehive and then say, ooh, it's very buggy here.
I just don't see how you can say, it's not, you know, it has to be like your house. It can't be like your house. It's a flimsy structure.
It has to be like your house in certain ways. In the way that you partake of it, it has to be like your house. You eat in your house, you eat over here. You sleep in your house, you sleep over here. You make your house nice.
You're sleeping, but it doesn't mean you have to have a mattress.
Like Joan is saying, that Rashi is taking that for granted. That when we
Why
say
did they have mattresses back then?
Apparently, yeah, that's something.
Straw.
Yeah, that's some kind of magic.
The point is, you have to mirror it in some way.
Whatever they would do in their house, if whatever kind of mattress they had at home, they had to take out to the sukkah.
Obviously, it's not the same exact thing. That's why we're not.
Right. No, it's not the same
exact thing. Right. There's something different.
Right. You don't have to build
it.
It doesn't have to build a new. It's not that you have to build a new house. What's the matter?
Not every.
What it sounds.
What?
Not every inconvenience is changing the whole thing.
Right.
It's not like your house. Right.
Right. It's not. That's correct. The presence of certain inconveniences doesn't detract from the fact that it's still a sukkah, still a mitzvah. If it's true, then no one's in the sukkah. They would say, "Guy, this guy could say, I'd rather be in my house than be in the sukkah." Right?
Yeah.
There'd be no mitzvah altogether. Okay. I was hoping to do the run, but I guess we'll have to stop here. I think that's good the way you said it, in terms of
the exit option.
There has to be an exit option to begin with. If there's no exit option to begin with, that's already deficient in Teishu Gain Tadir.
I don't understand that.
Practically?
No, in any way.
What do you mean?
An exit option.
Meaning I'm not going to subject myself to a situation where I know that there may come a time when I'm going to have to leave here and I'm going to be stuck and all my stuff's going to get ruined. It's not the way I would set up a situation of living. I wouldn't set up a situation of dira in a way where I knew that there's a likelihood of.
What's the difference? If you have a hurricane.
That's
a fire,
unusual. You know? That, we're not talking about something unusual. Rain is not so outside the ordinary. Rain is a normal event. Right, obviously, something that's extraordinary, that's a real shenei metzuyah, you're not worried about that. In general, in halacha, you're not worried about those types of anomalies.
You're more worried about your material than about the mitzvah.
No, it's not about the mitzvah. You're saying the mitzvah is to be here in a way that you would be in a home. And since I would never set up a home in a way where I couldn't get out with my protect my things, then I'm not chayav to subject my.
What do you mean, get out and protect your things?
That's what we're saying. The Meir is saying,
if something happens in your house, you have no way of protecting it.
No, but you there are certain things that you could do from the outset to protect them.
If it rains, there's not a problem. However, if there's a fire, what are you going to do?
You'll move your stuff into another room, or you move your stuff into another place.
If your whole house catches on fire?
Okay, again, you're talking about an extreme case. That's an extreme situation.
No, I don't understand the concept.
People have plan Bs.
Right. Plan B, escape route, escape, you can take your stuff out. You're going to try to find shelter for your stuff. You can do that. But would I set up a house in Meikar knowing that there was no way to do that?
There's a lot of security in like neighbors or like
just a way that your stuff is like getting burned.
I'm gonna stop.
If your house is on fire, you don't worry about the mattress. It's the same case. I'm saying like the hole in the roof is.